I am so glad, guys, the youth at the back, so glad you're in here. I've only got 107 slides today, so strap in, we're ready to go. So I'm doing the next one in the series on parables. So far, we've learnt the kingdom of God is like people who don't just say yes, they do yes. Coming to a street party where everyone is welcome. You can have a look at the reverse super catchphrase here where we're building a patchwork of the parables. And I'm going to add a piece to the... Nick got the reference that it was like catchphrase. That's good. I'm always aware that as like someone from Gen X, I still use pieces of paper to talk about a PowerPoint that contains AI-generated images, which is, seems like a weird thing to go across all. And I've used a pencil. I don't know if some of you younger people have heard of pencil. Yeah, it's amazing, right? So but I've marked up my paper with some pencil. But also there is, like, I have used AI-generated images in this, which is fine, right? For someone my age, I can go across all of these things. If there's ever a generational war, we're going to write everything in joined up writing and make the youngsters do maps to be able to... that wasn't where I was going at all. Right, parable of the unforgiving servant. So I thought we'd start by reading the parable together. So how is that for legibility? Is there a reread that? Okay, so Matthew 18... Verse 21 to 35, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to pay the debt. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. At this, the servant... Oh, wait... And we keep going, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. I volunteered for this one. I actually love this parable. It's so great. To me, like reading it, it feels like a movie. It feels like where there's all these people and characters, interaction. I imagine them in a room and there's people coming and going. It's also full of emotion. This story is full of emotion. And Jesus wasn't afraid of emotions. And he was not afraid of us bringing our emotions to him. So some of the emotions within this story, there's despair. The servant can't pay the debt that he owes. There's compassion. The king is moved by the servant throwing onto his mercy. There's also some entitlement. The servant, after he's had his debt forgiven, comes out and he feels that he's entitled to take it from his fellow servant. There's some surprise from the king where he realizes that the grace that he's paid to the servant hasn't been paid on. And there's also anger. So the king was then angry with the servant for not being forgiving and making the other servant pay the debt. So I wondered this afternoon about retelling this story and setting it in a modern context. Now, kings now, they're kind of like, you know, I guess, figureheads more than that they were in biblical times. They're kind of a ceremonial, particularly within Europe. You know, you have the king of the Netherlands or Sweden. They devolved their power to parliament. Who saw devolved coming in my... they're military leaders, but they're kind of the figureheads. And I was trying to think, well, who are the modern kings? Who are the people that I could set this in context with? And I came up with these people. So I'm going to try and retell this story. So these are people who have power, who have influence, who have money, who are involved in politics, who are involved in setting. Do we all know who these people are? No. Shall I run you through it? So the person on the left is my son's boss. That's Jeff Bezos. Joe works for Amazon in London. What, next one across, we could do it audience participation. Bill Gates, and then Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates owns Microsoft, and he's the boss of Microsoft. Zuckerberg is the leader of Facebook, and then the person on the right is Elon Musk. So controversial figures, but undeniably, these people have power, and they have wealth, and they have influence. And I thought I would pick a fictional character. I'm not going to do it with these people. I am going to have a fictional billionaire. So this is the fictional Sir Alistair St. John Smythe I came up with. Sir Alistair is retiring. He's going to be spending some quality time on his yacht in the Bahamas. And he's calling his investment portfolio. He needs to liquidate all his cash because that yacht is not going to pay for itself. So he calls in one by one the people who lead all his individual companies until he comes to poor old Gerald. And Gerald is running a division of the business that's running a deficit. He can't pay back the £5 million that he owes Sir Alistair. So I know it's a sad story. Do you want to do an R? Well, thank you. So he throws himself on Sir Alistair's mercy. And Sir Alistair is moved with compassion, as I spoke about earlier, and kindness. And says, look, it's fine, you know, I'll just not have quite so big a yacht, maybe reduce it by 1 meter. And Gerald leaves the room. And as he's leaving the room, he bumps into a junior investor in the firm, called Matthew. Sorry, Matthew. I don't know how I. I don't know. I was picking names, and you want. I don't know. But no. Oh, wait. This is. No spoilers. So Matthew owes £10,000, and he can't pay. So Gerald arranges for Matthew to be put into jail. Now, word of Matthew going into prison has reached Sir Alistair, and he is not pleased. And so he pulls all the strings that he can, and unfortunately, Gerald ends up in jail. And Matthew has his debt cancelled and is free. Hooray for Matthew! So I was thinking about this. Look, what does this story tell us? So one good way of looking at these things are, I've gone the wrong way. DBS questions. Are we all familiar with these questions? So we're not going to do that. And what does it mean then? And what does it mean now? And if it can't have meant it then, it can't, and all of that stuff. Yeah, we're not doing that either. What we're going to talk about is the things that the observations and the points that stuck out to me, but we might come back to some of these things. So Gerald doesn't treat Matthew. I'm so sorry, Matthew. I'm going to keep saying your name. One of the things that stuck out to me was this keeps going. Was this thing? Does anyone know what that is? A blind spot mirror. And this is what stood out for me in this. Fortunately, I don't have any blind spots. My breath always smells amazing. My driving, perfect. And I'm never grumpy, not even when I'm tired. I can't believe I'm saying this when I'm in church. Such bad. Not only am I saying it in church, my wife's in the room. I am joking, of course. Of course I am joking, and that's not true. I think we all have blind spots, and we all have things. If only this guy had spoken to somebody he trusts and sought some guidance before he put into a plan, he put into action his plan to shake Matthew down for the £10,000 that he owes. I think I've been growing this week at work. That's a good way of talking about. I cried in an episode of Star Trek. That tells you where I've been emotionally. It was really moving, right? And then, so I find myself, welling up and tearing in an episode of Star Trek. And you sort of think, yeah, I am growing, and there are things going on. And having sought some guidance from my wife, it was pretty obvious to her what I needed to do and how I needed to handle it. I could not see it, not for the life of me. I was really struggling to see a clear way to navigate through this situation. But actually, talking to somebody I trust and somebody who has my best interests at heart was a really good way of getting some perspective. I think we all struggle to get perspective. And I think the theme today and this afternoon about being a village, about being a community, actually being connected to other people and opening up and saying, look, I'm struggling here and this is somewhere that I could really do with some perspective, I think is a really healthy thing. Not just with your partner, but, mine's pretty wise, so I think that's... And she's on-site assistance as well. I might have to get my glasses. That's really... I don't think I've had to do that before. So just one moment. I've written some really good stuff, and I don't want you to miss out. That was the... No, it was. It would have been fine. It would have been all good. Right. Yes. So, yeah, that's good, right? I wanted to go back to this and talk a bit about forgiveness. I don't think I can do this without talking about forgiveness. But forgiveness is a really difficult topic, and it's a really easy topic to just stumble into and just track into people's pain. So what is forgiveness? Well, let's talk about it. It's a process and a journey, right? This forgiveness, I don't think it's suddenly, necessarily one day of the week. But I think it is a cancelled debt. I think one way of thinking about forgiveness is that it's a cancelled debt. But I don't think it means forgetting. I don't see that from the Bible. I don't see that. This idea of forgive and forget seems like a phrase that's come out in English somewhere. It doesn't feel... And I'm happy to be corrective if someone can point it to me in the Bible, but I don't think that's what the Bible says. And I think if you forget how you got hurt, I think you're actually vulnerable to be hurt again. And I don't think it's reconciliation either. I don't think forgiving somebody is being reconciled to them. And I also don't think if you're in a place where you're vulnerable or it's... you need to get to safety. I think those are the first things, and I think forgiveness doesn't come into it at that time. I think the important things are to be away from the situation, look after yourself first, and then forgiveness is a longer, slower journey. But I think it does mean a cancelled debt. I think it means that the other person no longer owes you something. That there is no longer, if you were face to face with that person, they wouldn't owe you anything. And I think it's a freedom. I think it's a liberation for you, that you are liberated from that debt more than it's a liberation from the other person, for the other person. And so, I'm struggling with the technology. Is this an age lockout? There we go. So for today's Bible piece, piece of our reverse catchphrase. Oh, wow, look at that. I got Sarah to write it. Her penmanship's much better than mine. The kingdom of God is like living in and passing on God's grace. We are all beneficiaries of God's grace. And we are able to... I'm taking my daughter's name now. I've used Matthew's name up until now. The idea that I am going to put my glasses on again. This is Jesus' example. We see that Jesus was able to pass on God's grace to us through his actions, through his words. And I think Jesus sets the example for us of how we pass on God's grace to other people. And I guess, you know, those questions earlier about what does this passage mean to us now and what does it mean? Who are you going to tell this week? Who are you going to tell about what we talked about at church on Sunday? Who are you going to tell about what God's grace has meant for you in your life and pass that on to somebody else? Thank you very much.